come to him a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. Jesus is our cornerstone, the living stone, our support, our foundation, the one whom on whom our lives are built, the one without whom the building of our lives would collapse. That's the first point today. Jesus is our sure foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone of our building. Upon him we rest. The second point is that we are to be living stones ourselves. Peter said, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. We are called to be living stones ourselves. If you remember from last Sunday's sermon, I used that illustration from one of my favorite cartoons of Wile E. Coyote, who went out there to try to steal a sheep. And he takes the sheep and he carries it off, and then he puts the sheep down and starts to sharpen up his knives, and as he's sharpening his knives, the sheep stands up and does the zipper down, and out comes the sheepdog, who had been there to all along to defend the sheep. We are to be like that sheep. Along comes Wile E. Coyote, Satan, Wile E. Coyote, and he steals us, and he thinks he's stolen us. And he's getting ready to devour us. Out of us is to come the shepherd, Jesus. And what does that sheepdog do? He grabs Coyote and he bashes him on the head. Don't start laughing as hard as you did last Sunday. That's the second point. We are called to be living stones ourselves, like the great cornerstone, Jesus, upon whom we build our lives. We are called to be living stones ourselves, with the life of the shepherd, the living stone within us. That's point number two. Point number three is, unfortunately, we don't always succeed. Why do we fail? Why do we fail to express the shepherd, the life of Christ within us? Why do we bite one another's heads off? Why do we chew and scrape and fight? Why do we fail to be living stones, living expressions of the living Christ? Why do we, instead of being living foundation stones, why do we end up being bludgeoning stones at each other? That's the third point today. We have Christ, our cornerstone. We are called to be stones ourselves. Why do we fail? Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we, your living stones, pray this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now, stones have many uses. There are negative uses, unfortunately. We use stones to throw at people like weapons. You can weigh things down with stones. That can be a negative thing, too. After all, Jimmy Hoffa wore shoes made of stone when the mob invited him to go swimming. Stones can weigh things down, in other words. Stones can be used as weapons to throw at people, like what happened to Stephen. You can build walls with stones between yourselves. You can take stones and build them between yourselves. Stones have many uses. Some of them are negative. But there are also many positive uses for stones. You can build foundations with them. You can build a building, a strong building out of stones. You know the story of the three little pigs. The pig who built his house out of straw. And along comes the wolf and blows it down, no trouble at all. Then the house that builds, the pig who builds his house out of sticks. Much stronger than simple straw. But still the wolf can come along and blow it down. But the pig who built his house out of brick, out of rock, out of stone, his house could not be blown down. Not even by the hair on his chinny chin chin. You can build houses out of stone. You can build foundations out of stone. This church building, this sanctuary, it's pier and beam, isn't it? That means we got stone around the outside, cement, but we got joists that run across that are made out of wood. If you want to see something interesting, go to the back over there where Weldon is sitting. And you'll notice if you walk back towards Weldon that the floor starts to give. We got a busted joint back there. If you build on stone, while you might have slumping like we've got over there in that building, you don't have broken joists. You can build a house out of stone. You can build a foundation out of stone. You can use stones as anchors to keep your boat from floating away. You can use stones in many positive ways. We use stones when we talk about people. We talk about someone as being a rock, the rock of Gibraltar. He's as steady as the rock of Gibraltar. What does that mean? The rock of Gibraltar is a big piece of the continent of Europe that is stuck up into the air there at the entrance to the Mediterranean Sea from the Atlantic Ocean. And it's so strong that storms and rain and wind for thousands of years have not been able to wipe it out, have not been able to wear it down, have not been able to destroy it. It's a huge piece of stone that, you know, saying goes, it'll be there forever. It is a sure, steady sign of the steadfastness of the earth. Okay? We sometimes say that someone, Jim, is like the rock of Gibraltar. I'm only lifting you up, aren't I? Jim is like the rock of Gibraltar. Weldon is like a sure foundation. You can depend upon him for anything. Janet is a stone that you can rest on and know that when she plays, you can sing with gusto. We use that term as a positive image for the saints of God, because we know that we are called to be like stones in the positive sense. We are called to be like Jesus, our cornerstone. We are called to be a sure foundation, sure in our faith, sure in our love, sure in the grace of God, sure in the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, sure as the rock of Gibraltar. We are called to be grounded and rooted in our cornerstone, Jesus, and therefore be a stone and a rock and a sure foundation for others. We have them in this congregation. Y'all know that Bobby is a sure and solid stone. A stone of faith. A woman of deep faith whose roots went down deep, so solid and so strong and so rooted and steady and steadfast and long-suffering and long-lasting that even death cannot overcome her. And she lives eternally now, as she has lived for years, in Jesus Christ her Lord. And we miss her. We miss her. But she is still here. A foundation stone upon which the love and grace and faith of God had been built up so that we all could see and know that she was a saint of God, a living stone, which we all can follow as she followed Christ. We know living stones like that. We do know living stones like that. We are all called to be living stones like that. Unfortunately, we don't always succeed. Stones not only have those good purposes, foundation anchors. They have negative purposes. They have negative functions. They can be used wrongly. And sometimes even the best of us can stumble, can become a stumbling stone, can truly become a problem, a pebble. You know what the word scruple is? It comes from the Latin meaning pebble. You have a scruple in your shoe, it drives you absolutely crazy. It can be the smallest little pebble. It can drive you nuts. Sometimes the smallest little thing can get on your nerves. When I was in North Carolina, when I was in seminary and graduate school, when I was in North Carolina, I pastored a four-point charge in the Methodist Church. That means four churches together. Temperance Hall, McKendree, Pine Tops, and Marvin United Methodist Churches. And no crazier bunch of schizophrenic people have you ever met. Each church in and of itself was, you know, pretty much the same. But the four churches together, woo! You had to be completely different with each group. With one church, I was Brother Neil. With the other church, I was Brother Greg. With the third church, I was Reverend Neil. And with the fourth church, I was Pastor Greg. And I knew which churches I was in. I didn't even have to look by what they called me. Except some of them called me, "Hey, you jerk, and get over here now." At Temperance Hall, they had a sign out front that was planted in this stone foundation. The sign was falling apart. It was made out of wood. It was split. It was broken. The paint had run and become faded, and you could barely read the worship time, let alone the name of the church. It looked absolutely awful. But if you knew what it said, you knew where you were. Temperance Hall United Methodist Church. Interesting name, and I'll tell you about that some other time. Anyway, one day, Mr. Jack Proctor, who had been chair of everything in that church, he and I were standing out front looking at the sign, and I said, "We need to replace that sign." He said, "Why?" "It serves its purpose. It stands there and announces that this is Temperance Hall Methodist Church. Tells the time we're supposed to be worshiping. Only a crazy perfectionist like you, Greg, would want it to look pretty. After all, the church doesn't." I said, "Okay." A few weeks later, a tornado came through. And like the one that missed us, it missed Temperance Hall too. But it hit the sign. Praise Jesus! Sucked that sign right out of its cobblestone base. Deposited it in the field about 4 miles down the road. Twisted up, broken to splinters. I went out there and took a look at it and looked at Mr. Jack, and Mr. Jack looked at me and he said, "Well, Brother Greg, it's broke now." I said, "Yes, it is. Is it enough broke to replace it?" And he said, "Yep." The next day, he was out there with these cobblestones and some mortar, laying a foundation on the old one. And I thought, oh, it's going to be wonderful. He's going to have a brand new, wonderful, pretty sign with new lettering on it. It's going to be wonderful. You are already ahead of me. I know you are. The next day I drove by. He had taken the old support beams from the old sign, some new pieces of wood to support and undergird it, and the old front facing of both sides he put up there. What a mess. He was a mess. God bless him. Let's see, he'd be 109 now, I think. No, I wouldn't be that old. Because sometimes maybe you think he was. Mr. Jack, if you're listening now, God love you. That foundation that he built, though, caught my attention as he added the mortar and he put each brick down. I wish he had paid as much attention to what he planted in that foundation and on it and up for everybody to see. The foundation looked lovely, wonderful, strong, would hold a brand new sign beautifully. Sometimes we have a wonderful foundation, but on it we stick ugly signs. On it we don't We're not living stones ourselves. We are ugly signs. Signs that people look at and go, ugh, I don't want to go there. They can't take care of their sign. They can't take care of themselves. And they certainly won't take care of me. Sometimes, we as individuals are not very pretty. Sometimes we are not the living stones God calls us to be. Sometimes we're bludgeoning stones. Sometimes we beat up on each other. Sometimes we stumble and fall and fail to do what Jesus would have us to do. Notice what Scripture says. Peter, writing to the Jews, said, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. That's who the Jews were called to be. Only they rejected the cornerstone that God gave them. They rejected the Messiah. They rejected the Christ. And so Peter writes the next sentence to the Gentiles. "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." That's true of us, friends. Once we were not a people, but now we're God's people. Once we hadn't received mercy, now we have received mercy. And having received mercy, having received grace, having received the unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God, we're called to give it, to show it, to express it, to live it to others, starting right here in this place. Our baptismal faith, the faith that we proclaim in baptism, is that God's grace comes before anything that we do to transform, to energize, to empower. It is God saying yes to us before we even pretend that we will say yes to God. That mercy that we have received, we had not received any before as the Gentiles, and in Christ we received the mercy that we need. We received the grace. God said yes to us in baptism into Christ. And we are asked and called and invited and to proclaim yes back to Jesus. We are called to be living stones, rooted in the living stone, Jesus Christ, living a life that expresses the grace of God to all whom we meet. That's what we're called to be about, as the baptized family of God. And that's what we're going to express again today, as we, as a congregation, reaffirm our baptisms. You may say to yourselves, what are you talking about, Greg? Very simple. We were baptized many times, many various times. Some of us were baptized as adults. When we were baptized, we had the opportunity to say, "I believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior." We had the opportunity to respond to God's grace at that time. Others don't have that opportunity. They were baptized, like myself, as a baby. And later on, confirmed that baptism, said yes to the grace that God had given in baptism, responded in faith, affirmed their faith, and took that faith on for themselves. And in the reaffirmation of baptism that we are going to experience today, we, the living stones of the body of Christ, we, the living stones of this house, this church, we, the living stones of mercy and grace of this family of God, are going to reaffirm that grace that God gave to us in our very beginning. We're going to reaffirm the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives today. So I want you to turn in your hymnals to page 50. Page 50. You'll see it's entitled "The Baptismal Covenant, Number 4, on page 50 in the front of your hymnals. congregational reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant. And today we also rejoice. It's a good opportunity for this. In receiving on transfer of church membership and reprofession of faith, Jerry Wallace. I invite Jerry to come forward. If you turn with me to page 50 in your hymnals, I'll just have a seat for right now. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given a new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. This is for the whole congregation, but also especially for you, Jerry. We're on page 50. Also especially for you. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all people. Pour out your Holy Spirit, and by this gift of water call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you have washed away our sins, and you clothe us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Jerry, would you please stand?